Morning. Today's daf and mabim siyas daf mem bay. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is learned zech nishmas liba Gabriela by Shmuel. We have a good chance today of catching up. We have a little bit left to do of mem aleph, and we'll finish daf mem aleph, and we'll start with today's daf, which is mem bay's. Yesterday we had a Mishnah on the very bottom of mem amud bay's, and the Mishnah talked about a case where you had a barrel in your house. And the Mishnah talked about two scenarios. One, there was no yichud makam, nowhere did the owner say to the shomer, this is exactly where you need to put it, and we have identified exactly when the house is going to be. And the second half of the Mishnah talks about a case where in the first case there was no yichud makam, and in the second case there was the yichud makam. And the Mishnah gave us conflicting reports in terms of what kind of liability we're talking about when the shomer takes the barrel and uses it and moves it. I meant both. Moves it and or uses it. So, in the first half of the Mishnah, as long as he puts it back to some location, again, there was no identifying spot, so as long as he puts it back somewhere, so the Mishnah says he's going to be potter. In the second case of the Mishnah says that once he moves the barrel, and he's not moving it for security purposes, in order to secure the barrel any further, once he moves the barrel, so the second half of the Mishnah says at that point in time, he is always going to be liable. And what it sounds like, as Rav Yochanan himself concluded, and this is the part we got to yesterday, is that the Mishnah is conflicting because it actually reflects conflicting positions. We learned at the end of the Gemara Baba Kama that if you're a ganef and you steal an item, and you return the item, is it required for you to tell the owner that you return the item that you stole? Is that a necessary component in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Veheshev Zegzela? So on that, Machlokus between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel says no need. Rabbi Shmuel says as long as you return the item, that's enough. As you put it back where you took it from, you stole it, you've returned it, so that's it. Rabbi Yishmael says, Veheshef as exhaler, you have fulfilled the mitzvah. I'm sure, according to Rabbi Yishmael, it'd be nice if you went over to tell him that you returned it, but it's not necessary. It's not a necessary component. Rabbi Kiva, on the other hand, disagrees. Rabbi Kiva says, no, you have to tell the person where that you're here, you stole, and you're returning the item, and you have to notify the person that you returned it. So Rav Yochanan says, yeah, the only way to really look at the Mishnah is that it is representing the two conflicting viewpoints. The first half of the Mishnah is a libah de Rabbi Shmuel, the second half of the Mishnah is a libah de Rabbi Akiva. In fact, Rav Yochanan was so convinced that the Mishnah is reflecting to the two different viewpoints, Rav Yochanan even challenged. Somebody goes ahead and tells me that the Mishnah is one singular opinion, either Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva. So he says, I'll become your attendant for the day. I'll do your dry clean for you. That's almost literally what Rav Yochanan says in terms of a challenge of can anyone identify whether or not the Mishnah follows one unified viewpoint. But as far as Rav Yochanan is concerned, there were two unified viewpoints. Where we are in the Gemara in Mem Aleph and Mem Aleph is now various Amoraim who step up to the challenge. As far as whether or not Rav Yochanan turned into their attendant, I don't think so. But a number of Amoraim did, however, step up to the challenge. And let's begin. So we are in the Gemara now with Rabbi Yaakov Bar Abba. So Tirgama Rabbi Yaakov Bar Abba. It's right in the middle of Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara continues. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Abba Kameh Derav Shenat La Amenas Le Gozla. So the Gemara gives one approach. One approach is that the guy who was holding the barrel took it, and not only did he take it, he took it in order to steal it. Okay, so his intention is that he was a shomer, but then after spending some time together with the barrel, he got a kind of an attachment to the barrel, and he took it in order to steal it. Tirgama Rav Nasan Bar Abba Kameh Derav Shenat La Amenas Le Gozla Bayad. And the Gemara says another pshat in front of Rav, and this is Rav Nasan, and he says that he took it in order to be mishaleach yad, in order to misappropriate it. Now, in English, stealing and misappropriating are really one and the same thing. What's the difference between these two answers? Effectively, not much, meaning they're basically both the same point, and that is that he took it in order to steal it. There are differences between Gzela, what the Gemara described in number one, versus Shlichus Yad. Rashi here points out that when it comes to Shlichus Yad, misappropriation of an item that was held by you, now we know about Shlichus Yad because the Torah mentions it. The Torah is very clear that if you are a Shomer, you cannot be Mishalech Yad. In fact, the Torah says, both by a Shomer Sacher and by a Shomer Chinam, in both Parshios, the Torah says, one of the Shavuos you're going to be making is that you are in Mishalech Yad. You didn't misappropriate it. So let's just recap. What's the difference between Gzela versus Shlichus Yad? So Rashi over here writes, it's a long Rashi, I'm just paraphrasing, I'm just summarizing. Rashi over here writes that when you're Mishaleach Yad, Again, we'll define it better in just a moment. But when you're Mishaleach Yad, you become now liable for everything, even the part that you were in Mishaleach Yad. Meaning, let's say, we're talking here about a barrel. Let's assume it's a barrel of wine. So let's say you're Mishaleach Yad. Let's say you misappropriate and you take some of the wine. You are now going to be liable and responsible for the entire barrel, even though you only took a little bit. As opposed to Gzela, if you actually steal, so the only part that you're going to be liable for is the only the portion that you stole, not the part in your Mishaleach Yad. Now, being that that's stated, still the question stands. What's the difference between Gzela versus Shlichus Yad? So as you'll see in the Gemara itself is going to try to wrap its head around possible distinctions, possible delineations between the two. For our purposes right now, in terms of explaining the Mishnah, they're basically the same approach. And that is that the person looked to steal it. And as Rashi points out over here, we haven't finished answering the question, how does that now reflect that the Mishnah is following only one viewpoint? Stay tuned. That's coming up in just a moment.
Why is this not Gneva and Gzela?
It's effectively the same thing. The point the Gemara is about to make is that for our purposes right now, they're the same. So, and the Gemara says, and this fits into a general discussion, which we're going to see a couple times over the next couple of days, and that is when you're Mishaleach Yad, when you misappropriate an item. So does it require you to say, I'm now taking the item, I'm misappropriating, or no, it requires more than just a verbal commitment that I'm going to take it. Is it required that you're going to actually have to take some of it? Meaning, does it require chisaron? So the one who says gzela, yeah, that's because when it comes to shlichus yad, taking it by itself is not enough. There has to be an actual depletion of the barrel. And the one who says shlichus yad, he's of the opinion that for shlichus yad, you don't need chisaron. So the moment you make a commitment in your head and you take the barrel and you say, I am now misappropriating, that's enough. Now that falls under the category of shlichus yad. And again, as Rashi points out, once you fall under the category of shlichus yad, now you're going to be liable for the entire barrel. Now, again, we haven't really even answered the question. How does this show that the Mishnah is a unified Mishnah? So again, stay tuned. The Gemara interrupts, that's Rashi's language over here, the Gemara interrupts with a question. Maskefler of Sheshes, Midin not Lakatani. Even if we're going to go with this approach that you stole it, that's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, Tiltala. You moved it. So if you're the language of the Mishnah certainly does not indicate that you stole it. Elam Rav Sheshes, Hach, but my skin can go to La Havi Allah goes los. So Rav Sheshes says, now again, Rav Sheshes' answer is also going to be similar to the previous two. He just wants it to conform better with the language of the Mishnah. The Mishnah uses the language of Tiltala, so Rav Sheshes now is going to give a similar approach. It's not the same, but a similar approach. What you did is you took the barrel. Not because you're going to want to steal the barrel. In fact, eventually you're going to put the barrel back. It just happens to be right now that you are vertically challenged. Okay, it's a sensitive topic by me. So you're vertically challenged, and you're trying to get up to the birdhouse, but you can't do it. You need a step ladder. You don't have one. Okay, good. I have a barrel. I know I'm supposed to be a shomer in the barrel. I know. But you take the barrel, you move it to the spot right into the birdhouse, and then you step on it. So now, effectively, what you're doing, you're not stealing, but what you're doing is you're borrowing. In other words, you weren't instructed. You weren't commissioned to be a borrower. You were supposed to be a shomer. And now what you did is you were shoel. You borrowed the item. The only problem is that you didn't ask. This is what's called shol shalom midas. You borrowed an item without telling the owner that you're borrowing the item. Is that now, your two options are either you're a shoel, either you're a borrower. Obviously, it would have been much better, much more appropriate for you to have asked. Or the other option, of course, is you're a gozlan. In other words, that's theft. You didn't ask permission to use it. So the Gemara says, v'kasavar. Now Rav Sheshes, in giving his answers, of the opinion, shol shalom midas, gozlan ave. So he's of the opinion that you're a gozlan. Again, what comes down to the same basic point is just that now Rav Sheshes' answer works better with the Mishnah because the Mishnah uses the word metaltala. You moved it. You didn't take it. So, okay, so now, but effectively the point is the same. You moved it in order to use it, and you were borrowing it, and you didn't ask, and he's of the opinion that Shol Shalom Das is considered a gozlan. Now, according to all three answers that are given, they all basically are wrapped around this idea that you stole it. Let's just say what it is. You stole it. You can call it Shlichus Yad. You can call it Shol Shalom Midas. But all three answers are pointing in the direction of you stole it. Now the Gemara is going to finish the thought. Now, how can the Mishnah be a unified Mishnah? The Kula Rabbi Shmuel he. So the entire Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shmuel. Now remember, according to Rabbi Shmuel, when you steal something, You don't have to notify the owner when you return it. You simply return it, and that's sufficient. Now, if that's true, the ratio of the Mishnah works out great. What are we going to do with the second half of the Mishnah? The Gemara goes on to explain. And here's the problem with the Seifa. The Seifa is you put it, but you didn't put it back. Remember, in the second half of the Mishnah, we were miyachid makam. We designated an area. When the owner deposited by you, you told them, this is where it's going to be kept. So you're miyachid makam. So here's what you did. You either, again, three answers. Shlichus yad, gzela, or shol shalomidas. Any one of the above. You stole it. Let's call it what it is. You stole it. And now, you stole it, and you didn't put it back to the designated area. So the failure of the second half of the Mishnah is the simple fact that you didn't return it to where it should have gone. Very good. Now that we're here, so now our second half of the Mishnah could be going like Rabbi Shmuel as well. You don't have to tell the owner that you returned it, but you do have to return it. And in the second half of the Mishnah, that's exactly the failure. The failure is that you didn't return it to the Makom HaMiyuchad. You see, in the first half of the Mishnah, this never was a problem. In the first half of the Mishnah, we were never Miyachid Makom. We didn't designate an area. So as long as you put it back somewhere, that's considered return. In the second half of the Mishnah, once it's Yichud Makom, so it has to go back to that place. That is the approach of these three Amoraim. Again, variations in terms of what exactly the theft is, but that's the approach, and that's how our Mishnah could be going like one Tana. Now, Rav Yochanan, I'm sure he thought of this as well. And the Gemara now is going to point out, why didn't Rav Yochanan opt with this? Why was Rav Yochanan insistent to the fact that Reish of the Mishnah is Rabbi Shmuel, Seif of the Mishnah is Rabbi Kiva, and there's no other way to say it? We just learned that there is another way to say it. Rav Yochanan, Henicha b'mkoma mashma. So Rav Yochanan says, I don't think that fits into the language of the Mishnah. Because when the Mishnah describes how, after he used it, the Mishnah says, Mishehinicha. When he put it, Rav Yochanan says, I think that what the Mishnah means is he put it back, meaning he put it back to where it should have gone. So he doesn't feel that there was a failure in the second half of the Mishnah of returning it back to where he should have put it back. Therefore, Rav Yochanan was left with no option other than saying the first half of the Mishnah is Rabbi Shmuel and the second half is Rabbi Akiva. Itmar. To fall under the category of misappropriation, of shlichus yad. So, machlokes amorayim, whether or not, in order to be filed under the category of shlichus yad, there has to be an actual depletion. You actually have to not only take it, but take it and use some of it, and actually diminish its value. Now, as the Gemara classically approaches Machlokes Amoraim without identifying who said which position, you know where the next Gemara is going next. Who said which one? So the Gemara says, let's say that it's Rav who says it does not require a chisaron. Detanya, the Gemara says it's based on the following braisa. The shepherd was shepherding and then he left the flock and he went into the city. Now, in of itself, that already sounds like negligence. In other words, if your job is to watch the herd, and you decide to take a break, and you decide to go into the city, it sounds already like you are in the category of negligence. We're going to avoid that. Rashi avoids that, because otherwise, there's no discussion to be had. Once the shomer is negligent, so then he's a poshea, and there's nothing to talk about. Obviously, there is something here to talk about. So Rashi delineates a couple of suggestions in terms of why this isn't pshia. In the meantime, however, for our purposes, let's assume it's not pshia. Otherwise, there's nothing more to read. And then while he's taking his coffee break, so then one of the animals is attacked either by a wolf or by a lion. So putter, he's going to be exempt. Okay, obviously, without Rashi, we know that we can't file this under Pshia, and we just have to explain why. Rashi spends a little bit of time doing so. Either way, now, if you take your stick and you put it on the animal, so now you're going to be chayev. And at this point in time, it's a little bit difficult to understand. Why? Just because you put your stick on one of the animals, it's hard to understand. And that's the Gemara's next question. The Gemara says, that doesn't make much sense. So the Gemara says, Hashakinu. So the Gemara says, Amarav Nachman, Amarav Abaravu, Amarav Odan Aleha. So the Gemara first assumed that you put the stick on and you took it off. But the Gemara says, no. He put the stick on and you left the stick on. So the Gemara says, okay, now that we clarified that point, I still don't understand. What's the difference? V'chi odan aleha mayhave. Halo mishkach. The Gemara says, I'm sorry, halo mashka. Okay, you put your stick on the animal. That, in order for you to take an animal, meaning whatever you want to call it, misappropriation, gzela, whatever you want to call it, you have to do a kinyan. And over here, if you're putting your stick on the animal, that's nothing. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, okay, now we understand the stick. The stick is, he didn't put the animal on the stick, he hit the animal with the stick. And by hitting the animal with the stick, he caused the animal to move, and that is a kinyan. That's a kinyan meshicha. Now, meshicha generally means to draw the animal, but we've discussed this already. We saw this back in the sixth parak of Baba Kama, but we know that meshicha can be any means in which you cause the animal to move. So if you pull the animal, that's the literal translation meshicha, that's a kinyan. You hit the animal and the animal moves, that's also meshicha. So the Gemara says, okay, now we understand. So what the shepherd did is that he hit one of the animals in order to take the animal for himself. Now, that is a braisa. We're assuming right now that this falls under the category of shlichus yad. To be fair, the braisa doesn't say that. The braisa doesn't use the word shlichus yad, but that's the assumption we're going to be making. V'halo chasra, and now this falls under the category of shlichus yad, and all you did was just move an animal. There was no diminishment of value of the animal, and yet it's falling under the category of shlichus yad. So now it's left for us to conclude that according to Rav, you will be considered misappropriating the animal, shlichus yad, even without an actual diminishment of its value. So the Gemara says, Ema shehik chisha b'makel. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to add one other detail in order to perhaps conclude differently. You didn't just hit the animal, you gave the animal a solid whack, in which you did two things actually. You caused the animal to move, and also you beat the animal so hard, you actually hurt the animal, and you diminished the value of the animal. The Gemara says, actually, when you look at the back of the braisa and you read the braisa carefully, it actually seems to indicate that this is in fact correct. Now, now from the very same story, we're actually concluding the other direction. Now we're saying that according to Rav, in order to fall under the category of shlichus yad, there has to be actually diminishment of value. His bar plukta obviously is going to go in the other direction. Now, umidirav sav shlichus yad tzricha chisaron, Levi sav shlichus yad in tzricha chisaron. Now, what about shitas Levi? So, process of elimination. Once Rav is telling us that it does require chisaron, so that means that according to Levi, it does not require chisaron. And where does that come from? My time with the Levi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Yosef ben Urai, Mishun shlichus yad amur b'shomer sachar, Mishichus yad amur b'shomer chinam. There are two parshios in the Torah and Parshas Mishpatim that describe Shmira. And we know one is referring to Shomer Chinam, the other one is referring to Shomer Sachar. We also know, all this, by the way, the Gemara never formally articulated. That is coming up much later in the Masechta, in the Tzadis. But in the meantime, for our purposes right now, all we need to know is that there are two parshios back to back. One's talking about Shomer Chinam, the other's talking about Shomer Sachar. And we also know, reading the Pesukim, I know I'm not reading them now, but we also know that both parshios actually mention Shlichus Yad. Why does the Torah have to mention Shlichus Yad by both? So the Gemara says, Ve'ani Omer. Sorry. So according to Rav Yochanan, in the name of Rav Yosef ben Urai, who presumably is his Rebbe, he says Mishuna, meaning that they're not the same one to the other, and I would not have learned Shlichus Yad one by the other. Says Rav Yochanan, I say Ein a Mishuna. Umay Mishuna. So we know that Rav Yochanan argues with his Rebbe. His Rebbe says Mishuna. Rav Yochanan himself disagrees with his Rebbe and says, Ein a Mishuna. What does all this mean? Gemara now, we're on the very top of Mem Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara continues.
How can you do that?
Yeah, I know. The question comes up often, and we see it. And the question, of course, how could you do it? Could be Rav Yochanan, but I'm speculating right now. So put this under the category of speculation. Could be Rav Yochanan had more than one Rebbe. Okay. Ve'ani omer ina mishuna. Umay mishuna lo samar shlichus yad b'shar masach v'teisa b'shar mechina. So the Gemara goes on to explain. Here's what we could do. We could do, what we could say is that the Torah didn't need to say it twice, the Torah only needed to say it once, and the Kal V'chomer would have gotten us from point A to point B. Uma shomer chinam shepata b'gneva v'aveda. We know, we say time and again, shomer chinam has the least liability if the animal is either stolen or any item. If the item was stolen or lost, he's going to be pater. And shalach bayad chayav. And even with his limited liability, once he misappropriates, he's going to be chayav. So then shomer sachar shechayav b'gneva avayda l'kol shekein, the kal v'chomer is super solid. Meaning by shomer sachar, where his level of responsibility and liability go up, so for sure he's going to be chayav for shlichus yad. If he misappropriates, of course he's going to be chayav. So now, the argument is that the kal v'chomer gets us from point A to point B. Once we have a kal v'chomer getting us from point A to point B, why does the Torah have to articulate both in point A and in point B? So lamai hilchus hakazvin rachmano lamalach shlichus yad eina tzricha chisaron. It's to teach us this additional halacha that shlichus yad does not require an actual diminishment of value. Once you take the animal to misappropriate it, you are now falling under the category of shlichus yad. That is Rav Yochanan's Rebbe's position. Rav Yochanan ve'ani omer, this is now Rav Yochanan talking, eino mishuneh. Kerebi Alazar, the Amar Davida Achasi. The Gemara says that Rav Yochanan is subscribing to the viewpoint of Rav Alazar, which is Davida Achas. This and this are the same. My Davida Achas, Mishum de Ikala Mifrach. The Gemara says that the Kal V'chomer cannot get me from point A to point B, and why not? Because of a Pircha. The following challenge to the Kal V'chomer. What's the challenge? We assume time and again that Shomer Sachar is more Chamor. Of course it is. It's more liability. It's more responsibility. That's what we assume. But the Gemara now is pointing out, but there is a Chomra by Shomer Chinam. And that is that if you go to the owner and you say to the owner, look, I'm really sorry, the item was stolen from me, and you swear in court that the item was stolen from you, and then you are proven to be a liar. You were not telling the truth. You now, the shomer, are considered a ganav, and you're going to have to pay kefal. So this is a chumrah that is exclusive to shomer chinam. In the seventh parak of Baba Kama, we discussed this extensively. The Gemara now points out, kal v'chomer now seems to be deconstructed. Because kal v'chomer only works when one is clearly more chomer than the other. Here, it's not clear. Shomer chinam has a chomer than that of shomer sachar. Oman de lo parech. Now, obviously, Rav Yochanan's Rebbe didn't think the pircha is a good pircha. Why not? Sefer karna b'lo shmua adifa mikfila b'shvua. Because, yes, it's true, if your tongue tie is gone, if you're going to be paying kefal by shomer chinam, that's true. But it's not just being a shomer. It's being a shomer and claiming that the item was stolen and swearing to that fact. So in other words, to get to the point of Tohen Tanis Ganav, you have to go pretty far into the process. On the other hand, when it comes to Shomer Sachar, once the item is stolen from you, you have to pay right away. So, right, to use a cliche, a burning hand's worth more than two in the bush. Over here, yeah, the cliche works out pretty well. Meaning, Shomer Sachar is still more chamor. Because by Shomer Sachar, once the item is stolen, you have to pay right away. Done. Nothing to talk about. By Shomer Chinam, yeah, there's a possibility of Kefel, but you got to get through a number of rungs in order to get to the point of Kefel. Still, Shomer Sachar is more Chamer. Okay. Rava Amar, lo Shomer Shlichus Yad, lo b'Shomer Chinam, v'lo b'Shomer Sachar. Rava says, you know, I'm going to go even one step further. There is Shlichus Yad, both by a Shomer Chinam and by a Shomer Sachar, and Rava says, and I'll tell you what, the Torah didn't have to mention that point by either place. In fact, we know that there's also Shlichus Yad by Shoel. V'taisi mishoel, ma shoel deladas balam kavid. Consider the following. When you're a Shoel, the definition of a Shoel is that you're allowed to use the item. That's the very definition of being a Shoel. And you're allowed to use the item. And meanwhile, shalach bayad chayav. Meanwhile, even as a Shoel, if you misappropriate the item, which again, simple pshat means is that you took the item and now you say to yourself, you know what? I know I'm borrowing the item, but you know what? I'd like to now become the owner. So you take the item and you, with the intention now of stealing it, The Torah says, under those circumstances, you're going to be chayav under all circumstances. Now, by the shul, the starting point already is you're chayav under most every circumstance. So the shlichus yad doesn't do much in terms of ratcheting up your responsibility, but whatever's left, you're going to be held responsible for. So we know that there's shlichus yad by Yeshua. So the argument now, according to Rava, goes like this. So if there is shlichus yad by Shoel, where you had the right to use it, and misappropriation now is going to make you even more liable, so by shomer sachar, by shomer chinam, you have no right to use it. Your responsibility is to watch it, and that's it. So once you misappropriate the item, of course you're going to be liable. So now Rava takes the Kal V'Chomer and actually goes one step further. The Kal V'Chomer starts with Shoel and includes Shomer Sachar and Shomer Chinam. So now we have two additional psukim, Lama Namar. So why does the Torah say Shlichus Yad both by Shomer Chinam and by Shomer Sachar? Chana L'Marcha Shlichus Yad in Tzricha Chisaron. So we'll say halacha number one is that you are going to be considered Mishaleach Yad even without diminishment of value. Two, V'idach Shalot Tamar Dei Lavav Min Nadin Lios Kenadon. And also, let's not limit this Kal V'Chomer using the principle of Dayo. Mashal Bebalan Pater Av Shomer Chinam V'Shomer Sachar Bebalan Pater. You see, by Shoel, there is a notable exclusion by Shoel. We will see this in the 8th parak of Bava Metzia, and that is the following. When you are a Shoel, when you're borrowing, you have full liability. However, there is a notable exception. If during the She'ela, while borrowing the item, the owner of the item is working for you, so then you are going to be exempt from any and all liability. How do we make sense of that? Wait till the 8th parak of Bava Metzia, and we will try to offer svaras why that's so. All we need to know right now is that it is so. So the Gemara says, so once I have a Kal V'Chomer that starts from Shoel and moves his way to Shomer Sachar and Shomer Chinam, so I might have thought that this exception that applies to Shoel also applies to Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar as well. So the Gemara says, that's what we're learning here together, is that the second Shlichus Yad is coming to tell me that we don't apply the principle of Dayo, and that even though it is a Kal V'Chomer, the exception does not pass over from Shoel to the other Shomers. Now, if you subscribe to the viewpoint that a Shlichus Yad does not require diminishment, so it does require chisaron. What are you going to do with these extra mentions of shlichus yad? So one is to tell me once again that we don't have the principle of dayo. Again, the exception of baal of imo that we have by Shoel doesn't work its way over to the other two shomers. Two, v'idach lechedetanya v'nikra balabais el ha'elokim lishvua. Meaning we are back at the halach of Toin Tanis Ganav, that when you're a Shomer Chinam and you claim that the item was stolen, so you're going to have to be kefal. But that's only if you make a shvua. Atam l'shvua ino l'ledin. How do I know? The Torah only says v'nikra balabais alokim. We're going to go to court. Maybe the going to court is just simply that we're going to court. Not that there's a requirement of a shvua. Nemer shlichus yad lamatav, nemer shlichus yad lamala, malahalan, b'shvua afkan l'shvua. So the Gemara says no. Just like we know in the other shomrim, the Torah mentions shvua explicitly, so too in the case of shomer chinam, we know that you're only going to be chayv kefal if you swear. If you are toin tanis ganav with no shvua, you're not going to be chayv kefal. Adkan. Okay.
He's accused of stealing?
In other words, he's a shomer, and he just simply says the item's no longer by me, and he claims that the item was stolen. That's Toin Tanis Ganav, where he is going to have to be kefal. But what we just learned together is that that's only if he makes a shvua. Okay, just as a quick summary now, the Mishnah Mem Aleph Amud Beis tells us that if you're a shomer and you misappropriate an item, as long as you put it back, so you're good. First half of the Mishnah says you're good, second half of the Mishnah says you're not good. So in terms of how to approach the Mishnah, just as a review, Rav Yochanan says, Tavra, break the Mishnah into two parts. First half of the Mishnah is Rabbi Shmuel, second half of the Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva, and then we learned a slew of other Amoraim who say not necessary. The entire Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shmuel, and it's just that the second half of the Mishnah, the reason why you're going to be liable, even though Rabbi Shmuel says that you don't have to tell the owner you returned the item, is because you are miyachid makam, and you didn't return it back to the place in which you agreed that it was going to be. Okay. Adkan. It takes us now to the Mishnah on the top of Membeiz Amud Aleph, and here we begin today's daf. Hamafkid Malsei Tzochavera. So, I assume Rabbi Akiva. We, you have to notify. Hamafkid Malsei Tzochavera. You deposit money by your friend. So we've been talking throughout the parak of a number of items that we deposited. Our topic of discussion has been, for the most part, perishables. We talked about being miyachin makam, establishing a place, and now we're talking about asking him to watch my money. So Hamafkid Malsei Tzochavera. So the mission over here is going to give three scenarios in which you, the shomer, were simply... negligent about the way you watched it. Case number one, Sarin V'Yishin L'Acharav. You took the money, you wrapped it up, and then you put it over your back. You put it on a backpack on your back. So, yeah, you were holding the money, but no, you were not watching the money. Now, Shemasim Levno V'Vito Ketanim, or you handed it over to your children, but your minor children. Or three, Vinal Bifnam Shalokarai, or you simply put in a place where it wasn't locked away. All three of those are examples of not good Shmira, insufficient Shmira. So the Mishnah says in all three of them, Chayiv Shaloshamar, Shaloshimer Keder Chashomrim. You didn't do a proper Shmira. Vim Shimer Keder Chashomrim Prater. However, the Mishnah says what seems to be a superfluous sentence, which is, but if you do it correctly, so then you're going to be exempt, which kind of was already implied from the first half of the Mishnah. Let's start with the Gemara. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Of the three cases, giving it to your minor children is negligent. I get it. Putting it somewhere but not locking it, that's negligent as well. I get that. But if it's on a backpack on your back, sounds like you did okay. The Gemara says, "I'm a Rava, I'm a Rav Yisrael, I'm a Krav, it's Arta Kesav Biyadecha." Now, yes, the Gemara is quoting this out of context, but the basic idea is that when it comes to money, money's got to be in your hands. Alpha Pishit Surim Yeh Biyadecha. Even if they're bundled up, they got to be in your hand. Now, it's hard to imagine. We should talk about this. It's not on the daf. It's hard to imagine that in order for you to be a shomer, that means that the money has to be physically in your hands at all times. In fact, not only is it hard to imagine, but as we go through today's daf, you're going to see it's not necessary. What the Gemara just simply means, quoting this pasuk, is that the money has to be in a much more secure area. To be on a backpack on your back is just simply not secure enough. Sarta Kesav Biyadecha, speaking to the idea that the money has to be present and in front of you. You have to be much more conscientious and careful about securing the money. As long as we quoted... right. In other words, well, again, taking the Gemara super literally, the money has to physically be in your hand. But again, as you'll see as we go through the remainder of the daf, it seems to be the Gemara does not mean that literally in the case of Shomer. It just simply means the backpack is insufficient. Okay. As long as we talk about taking care of your money...
What's the difference between that and Lo Nal Karai?
Right. So I get... My guess is, again, falling under the category of speculation, my guess is that it was in a very... it was a very unsecure area. Meaning, it was a part of your house that wasn't even closed. Okay. Again, going back to the sixth parak of Bava Kamma, the Gemara over there talks about Nila Karai versus Nila Shalok Karai. But I'm not sure. The Amr of Yitzhak Lolam Yekaspa Shalad Matsub Yado. The Gemara now is going to give financial advice. Okay, so financial advice number one of the Gemara today is that the money should be Matsub Yado, the money should be in your hand. Rashi explains, second line of Rashi. Lo Yifka Den Ala Acher Makam Acher, Shim Tezdav and Lo Schar, Lo Schar, Yem Izuman Lo. You want liquidity out of your money. So, money being held by somebody else, that's nice. But now, if there's a business opportunity, you're going to be missing the business opportunity. So you want a certain liquidity within your money. That's number one. Shenemar v'tzarta kesav yadecha. Again, the Gemara quotes the same pasuk, obviously to teach us a different halacha. But again, the pasuk is being quoted out of context. But again, the same basic idea. Okay, two. Second piece of financial advice. Amar Rav Yitzchak Lolam Yashlish Adam Es Ma'usav. And then in terms of a portfolio, the Gemara says you should be dividing your money into thirds. Shlish Bekarka, a third of your money should be in property. Shlish Beprakmatka, a third of your money should be in some sort of venture. And Shlish Tachas Yado. And then a third of the money should be on hand for the purposes of venture opportunity. So Avam Rav Yitzchak ain't a bracha mitzvah yel b'davar someh min ha'ayim. Another piece of financial advice, and that is that if you want bracha, so bracha is only going to be for something that is hidden, which on the most literal level means that the in order for your money to grow, don't count your money. Shenamar, the pasuk says Yitzav Hashem Escha es habracha ba'asamecha. So asamecha literally means your silence. In this case, samui, something which is hidden. Tandebe Rav Shmuelin Abracha Mitzvah Yelah B'davar She'ein Ha'ayin Shaletes Bo. Sounds like the Gemara over here is making a very similar comment. I'm sure be'iyun, you can make different distinctions between these two points, but right now for our purposes, on a Bikiyas level, it's basically the same point, that in order for the money to have bracha, so it has to be out of you. Shenem Ritzav Hashem Oscha, it's a bracha basamecha. Tanu Rabbana Olech Lamod Ez Gorano. So let's say you're going to be measuring the amount of money that you have in your granary. I don't mean money. I mean produce. Meaning that you harvested, it's now in the silo, and you want to count. Now the truth of the matter is you don't want to count. Meaning the bracha is better if the grain is left uncounted. Here's the problem. The Gemara is assuming that we're in Eretz Yisrael. You have to take off Trumas HaMaisos. The only way to know how much Trumas HaMaisos you're going to have to take is by counting. So you have to count. So the Gemara says, "I'm a Yirtzom Afanech Hashem Lekenu, Shetishlach Brach B'maseh Yadenu." So before you count, now you can ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu for Brach HaVatzlacha. Right? It's at the point now where you didn't count, and the Tefillah can actually help in terms of how much is collected. Hizchol Amod Omer. Now, as you're about to count, so you say, Baruch, now Rashi, the Gemara, same Gemara over here is in the Gemara in Tanis. Rashi in the Gemara in Tanis, I needed to remind myself, I didn't remember this. So Rashi in the Gemara in Tanis says that this is actually a bracha b'shem ha'malchus, meaning it's a bona fide bracha. You say, Baruch ha'shalech bracha b'kriyazeh. You actually make a bracha and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should provide bracha in this pile. Now, if let's say you count and then make a bracha, at that point in time, it's too late. You know how much it is. The Gemara in Bracha says that for an event that already happened, for you to petition a Kadosh Baruch Hu, tefillah shav, it's just simply too late. Lefishi in a bracha mitzuyah lo b'davar hashakav lo b'davar hamadud. Bracha does not come with something that is weighed, something that is measured, lo b'davar hamanui, not with something which is counted. Ela b'davar hasamui min ha'ayim. It has to be something which is hidden from the eye. Shenema yitzav Hashem oschas ha'bracha ba'asamecha. Okay. Adkan, that is the end of the Gemara's financial advice for the day. In terms of your portfolio, in terms of liquidity, in terms of not counting your money, unless you have to count your money. Okay, Adkan. The Gemara now is going to return back to the Mishnah. We're now going to resume our discussion of Shmira. Amar Shmuel, Ksafim Ein Lahem Shmira Ella Bikarka. I mentioned a moment earlier that when the Gemara says the money has to be in your hand, don't take the Gemara super literally. Right, Shmuel's position over here certainly would reinforce that idea that the Gemara didn't mean literally. In fact, Shmuel says that if you want to be a proper shomer, so you're a proper shomer only by putting the money into the ground. Burying the money in the ground. Now let's say you as a shomer got the money to watch right before Shabbos. So it's understandable that you simply did not have the time to dig a hole right before Shabbos to bury the money in the ground. So you get a pass, meaning if over the course of Shabbos the money was in your house and you were asked to be a shomer and you're watching the money and you didn't bury it in the ground, so you get a pass because you're a shomer Shabbos. Now, the e shalom motzei Shabbos shir lemikbarino velo kavrino mechayev. However, if post Shabbos you linger and you don't bury the money, and time has gone by, and you had enough time to bury the money, you didn't do so after Shabbos, at that point in time, your excuse is over, and you are no longer excused for not burying the money in the ground. Now the Gemara makes such an interesting comment. Now let's say you're a Talmid Chacham, so meaning the owner of the money. So now, even after Shabbos comes to a conclusion and you're the shomer, you now still have a legitimate excuse why you didn't bury the money in the ground. Because you were afraid that you may get a knock on the door by the owner of the money, who, after Shabbos, realizes that, oh yeah, Shabbos is over, and I have to make Havdalah, and I don't have wine right now, and I need wine, and I want to make Avdallah, or you know what? I left my money over by so-and-so. I'll go ask him for the money so that I can make Havdalah. So you, the Shomer, now expecting the owner of the money to be knocking on your door, so you're given a little bit of pass after Shabbos for not immediately burying the money after the ground, expecting the owner to ask for money for Havdalah. Now, it's interesting because you don't have to be a Talmid Chacham to make Havdalah after Shabbos. One and all are going to be making Havdalah after Shabbos. So it is interesting that the Gemara over here designates a special mitzvah of Havdalah to Tzur b'Mirabanan to the Talmud Chacham.
What I heard was that Talmud Chacham don't rely on
it. Right. I heard the same shot as well. So okay, good. So Ben and I draw from the same sources. So the So one pshat I heard, I don't know who to give credit to. So the one pshat I heard, I saw it in the Masifta. So the one pshat I heard is that the Talmid Chacham is going to make Havdalah himself, meaning that if you're not a Talmid Chacham, okay, you're also obligated to say Havdalah. According to the Rambam, it's a mitzvah in the Torah. So, you'll go somewhere to hear Havdalah. You'll hear Havdalah in Shul. Tzur b'Mirabanan is going to make sure that he himself says Havdalah. Okay, I heard the same shot. Okay, v'ha'idna. So now, where do we stand right now? Basically, you bury the money. And according to Shmuel, that's the only way to safely safeguard the money. Okay, you see the long Tosfos over here? Tosfos over here has the following discussion. The Gemara never, Shmuel never told us what kind of Shomer we're talking about. Are you talking about a Shomer Chinam or are we talking about a Shomer Sachar? So if we're talking about a Shomer Chinam, okay, that's great. Meaning, Shomer Chinam, if the item is stolen from you, or if the item is, or if you lost the item, so you are going to be putter. So that's great. In other words, and what Shmuel's teaching us is that you want to be responsible Shomer, so you have to bury the money in the ground. What do we know as it relates to a Shomer Sachar? So if you're a Shomer Sachar, so you're Chayv and Geneva Vaveda, which means that you needed to be more careful. So Tosfos over here spends a lot of time discussing the following. Can you imagine? You're a Shomer Sachar, and somebody gives you money and says, can you watch the money? So you go into your backyard, you dig a hole in the ground, as Shmuel's instruction, you put the money in the hole, in the ground, you pat the ground nice and clean, you even put some grass on the top of it. Okay, I know I'm embellishing right now, but Tosfos is going to make such a strong point. And now you have a ganav come into your house and find the money buried under the ground and take it. Can you imagine as a Shomer Sachar now you're going to be liable? Meaning, I guess the question could really be a more generic question. How can you be chayv and geneva? Someone comes in and steals the money. But the general answer is that by geneva, you still needed to be more careful. Meaning the money was in an exposed area and you should have been more careful. Over here, you bury the money in the ground. And really by Shomer Sachar now, you're going to be liable if somebody had the tenacity to find the money, dig up the money, and you're still going to be liable for that kind of geneva? Like, let's say, for example, by Shomer Sachar, we know Lista Mezuyim, right? If you're held up, you're not going to be chayev, even as a Shomer Sachar. If you're held up and somebody points a gun to your head and says, okay, give me the money, you're giving the money and you're not going to be chayev. So over here, you bury the money in the ground and you're going to be chayev? It's kind of hard to imagine.
Maybe you did a good job hiding it. Maybe
okay, yeah. Right. So, I'm just explaining the real estate over here. Why Tosfos is spending so much, what is he discussing so much? It's hard for him to imagine that if you bury money in the ground and you're a Shomer Sachar, you're still going to be chayev. It is hard to imagine. Okay. Anyway, that was just a... That was a teaser. See Tosfos for more discussion. Okay, back to the Gemara. We are Veha'idna. First wide line on the daf, Mem Beis Amud Aleph, now a days. Dishchicha Gushushai in Lam Shmira Ela Bishmei Korah. So you have Gushushai. Rashi explains these are people that hit the ground, right? I guess nowadays you can imagine the metal detector going over the backyard. But in other words, okay, they're a group of people who know how to comb the ground for hidden money in the ground. So nowadays, don't bury it in the ground. It's just that's not going to be enough. So right now, the secure area of choice is going to be up in the beams in your house. So the Gemara says nowadays that's also not going to be enough. You have a group of people who know to look in the beams of the house. So the Gemara says put it in the wall, between the boards and the wall. Shmuel is going to agree that a kosel is also going to be in a secure area. Ve'ina d'shchicha tapuchai ein shmira ela b'tefach hasamach l'karka o b'tefach hasamach l'shmei kara. The Gemara says nowadays also you have people hitting the wall, looking for money in the wall, so you put it in the wall, but either close to the ground or right up by the roof. Okay. Amle Rav Acha b'Rav Rav Yosef Rav Ashi asam tanat. Okay, we're going to chazu together a Mishnah Psachim. The Mishnah goes as follows: Chamish enough alav mapolos harei ukemavuar. Let's say you have chametz that the house came on, and came down upon, and now it's buried underneath. So you have successfully fulfilled the mitzvah of bir chametz. It has been now removed from this world. You don't have to do anything more. Rav Shimon Gamliel Amar Kol Shein Hakel V'Yachol L'Chapes Acharav. So Rav Shimon Gamliel gives a shear, and that is as long as the dog can't discover it. V'Tana Kama Chafisa Sakel of Gimel Tfachim. Three Tfachim underground. Ha Chamai. Okay, now in terms of Chametz, now we know the Halacha. Does that shear of three tefachim translate over by us when we're talking about burying it under the ground? My, me being shlosha tefachim lo amar lehasam mishum recha. Could be that we can make a very easy distinction. Over there, the dog is going to sniff it out. So that's why you need three tefachim, inan gimel tefachim. Hacham mishum kisui, me'ena lo b'inan gimel tefachim. But over here, in terms of kisui, so we're just talking about covering the money so that doesn't be, so it's not seen. So maybe over here, three tefachim is too much. V'kama, so the Gemara says, let's assume it's too much. Amar Rav Rami Sichra tefach. So the Gemara says, all you need to do is just bury the tefach underground. How gavra dik v'zuzik abichavrei. A person handed money over to his friend, Osvina Bitsrifa Duruvani. And what does he do with the money? He puts it in a hut. A simple hut made out of palm fronds. Ignav, it was stolen from that place. Amar of Yosef Abagav Dilin Geneva Nitirasahi. Now, in terms of Geneva, that's considered, it's considered Shmira. It's considered good. Okay, now, if you argue with Shmuel, I mean, Shmuel says it has to be buried under the ground. Maybe yes, maybe no. But anyway, he feels that it's a good Shmira. However, Le'inyan, Nur Pshiyasahi. However, you're putting in an area that's highly flammable. A small fire would have destroyed the hut, and I know metal's made out of, money's made out of metal, but let's assume also it'll destroy the money as well. So, we come back again, a famous, common topic, a popular theme in the Bavas, and that means then that putting it in there already was negligent, vis-a-vis the fire. So, since you put in an area that is already starts off as a negligent area, so even though it wasn't a fire that consumed the money, it was a thief that consumed the money, but this falls under the category of tchilas of b'pshiyah v'sof ba'ones, and you're going to be chayv. Then avi gedami avagav dilin yinor b'pshiyasahu lingin ganvei nitirasahu tchilas of b'pshiyah v'sof ba'ones pater. Now some disagree, and some say that even though you were negligent putting it in there vis-a-vis fire, but the fire isn't what destroyed it, it's the thief that took it. So therefore you're going to be potter. Gemara over here quickly concludes, the Gemara concludes over here that even though it wasn't the fire that destroyed it, but since you put it in a highly flammable area, that is tchilas b'pshia, even though it was stolen, you're still going to be chayef. How gavra de'ifke zuzei gabe chavrei. Another story. Man deposited money by his friend. Amalei havli zuzei. So he knocked on the door, okay, give me back my money. And so the shomer says, I don't know. Sorry, I just don't know where it is. Also, coming to Rav Amalei Kolo Yadana Pshiasa, he should sound familiar. We did this a week ago in the daf. Okay, by not remembering where you put it, that's negligent. Zil shlim, you have to pay. Au gavra, difke zuzigab echavrei shlamin ali ime. So what the person did is he gave it to his mother, vusvina bekartavle, and the mom put it in a chest. The ignov, and it was stolen. Amar rav hechen edan edin al haidina. Name ali li didei zil shlim. Now, in terms of saying to the shomer, go pay. So the Gemara says, kol amafket al das yishto avanav hu mafket. Now again, a week ago we had the discussion of shomer shemasal shomer. But as the Gemara concluded a week ago, and the Gemara is reminding us right now, it's expected that when you are handed something to watch, you're going to give it over to family members. Now, we talked about Beno, Hagadolim, we talked about your wife, mom's included, meaning mom is part of the household. So it was expected for you to give it over to the mom, so this doesn't fall under the category of Shomer, 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 Shomer. However, so name Leime Zil Shlimi. So now, mom, you put it in a place that was that was not a secure enough place. So, mom, you need to pay. So, Amar lo Amar li de lavdi deinenu de akbarinu. So, mom said, wait 1 second. I'm going to be honest. When my kid gave it to me, my kid didn't tell me that this was Shomer money. I thought it was the kid's money. So I thought it was my own son's money. So name Alei Amaylo Amartla. So now we turn to the son and said, you know, you should have told him. Amar, the son's argument could be Kol Shekein Dechi Amin Ala Didinenu Tvei Mizdara Abihu. I will absolutely say this about my mother. My mother would take care of my stuff better than she would take care of anyone else's stuff. But then I can do no wrong in my mother's eyes. So it goes without saying. And that's the argument given by the son. What difference would it have made? In fact, if by making my mom believe that it was my money, she would have taken even better care of it. So Amar Rava Mishtabe Iu Dehanu Zuzei Shaminu. So the Gemara says, so in terms of the halacha, the din is that the son is going to swear that he gave it over to the mom. Mom is going to swear that she put it in a chest, which is a good enough shmira. And again, we can call into question whether argues with Shmuel, agrees with Shmuel, but either way, mom did her responsibility of washing the item. She'll make a shvua upater, and under the circumstances, everyone will be exempt from having to pay back.